What I'm trying to do today in the 10 minutes which I have before Alan gives me a gentle or a kick under the table is to go over these learner outcomes. One is to present the theoretical framework for conducting a health traditions assessment. Second is to discuss the benefits which the students see from conducting this health traditions assessment. Then to specify three strategies for developing cultural competency, and then identify three resources to enhance one's knowledge about health traditions of different cultural groups. This whole presentation stems from a course which I teach. It's called the Transcultural Health. So it's not so much research based as some of the other presentations you're going to hear today, but this one is more from the academic field, and so you'll have to probably make a mind shift after you hear my presentation. I'm a little disappointed that the wonderful music was switched off, because that was perhaps more melodious than my voice, at least for me. So let's see. The question is, what's cultural competence? We'll certainly talk about what cultural competence is, but the important thing is, why cultural competence? The best way to put cultural competence in its context is, if two people from different cultures, and how are cultures defined, if they come together for any kind of an interaction. For example, we see many cultures right over here, and if we interact, how do we make it a positive outcome for both? I think that's what is a succinct expression of what cultural competence is, and that's one of the things which we see as a very important need for undergraduate students, and that's where the course has been built up. But more in terms of the national need, the demographic shifts which are taking place in the United States, and we know that the fastest growing group within the United States are the Hispanic Americans. They have a growth rate which is faster than the other groups, and then the projection is that they themselves in the next 25 to 30 years are going to constitute 25% of the population. So it becomes imperative that we go beyond our own traditional culture wherever we come from, but be able to interact with others in a very positive way. The second thing is the Healthy People 2010, our roadmap for this particular decade, and the second goal for that is very ambitious, certainly, is eliminating health disparities. If you recall, it used to be to reduce health disparities, and now it is eliminating health disparities, and fortunately for us, we'll all be living for another 3 years to find out whether we have been able to do so or not. But the point is that that is an important, not only as a goal, but I think that's an important reality which has to be achieved. The third is the national standards for culturally and linguistically appropriate services in healthcare. And to give you a very quick gist of what it is that nobody in the United States should be denied or put in a compromising position when it comes to receiving services because they could not communicate with the healthcare provider. I think that's the bottom line, that people should not only have access, but they should have acceptable services, and that's one of the challenges. And then it has relevance and applicability across disciplines. When I teach this course, I love to teach this course. It's a 100 level course, and I get students from virtually every corner of the institution. And it is why I mentioned that is, it is very important for whether one is a business, whether one is going to be a teacher, one is going to be in special education, whether one is going to be in the healthcare professions or in other caring professions such as social work, it is impossible to survive in the modern world without being culturally competent. So that's why it cuts across different disciplines. Cultural competence, this is a definition which Terry Cross provided, which is standard, which is very much used. I have seen many different definitions, but they're all sort of tweaking or building upon this definition. So that's why I favor this. It's a set of congruent attitudes and policies that come together in a system or agency. And that's what I like about this definition. It not only talks about the organizations, but it also brings it back to the professionals, which all of us here in this room are, or some of us are going to be aspiring to be when they are in the undergraduate programs, and to that enable effective interactions in a cross-cultural framework, and I think that's the key. When I look at the goals of culturally competent care, it is to enhance cultural awareness, becoming culturally knowledgeable, increasing cultural skills, and ensuring effective cultural encounters. And that's what I alluded to earlier, is that one can become knowledgeable in the sense that there are different cultures which are there. One could have an immersion experience and become much more sensitive in terms of a particular culture. But then the bottom line is, at any point in time when we have these multiple interactions, are we trying our best to make these interactions positive for both the people or more people who are involved in it? It meets the diversity course at Westchester University, where I teach. Every undergraduate student who intends to graduate, and we want all of them to graduate, they need to take a diversity course, and that became a requirement about 5 years ago, 5 to 6 years ago, and this is one of the courses. It attracts a wide range of academic majors, not because I teach this course, no, that's one of the reasons why they don't come, but the reason why they come is because it is a subject which lends itself to be used, which is to be adopted across disciplines, and that's the reason why they come. It's a 3-credit academic course, as it is etched. I think when Moses developed the tablet, he put on the 11th commandment was that all the courses have to be 3 credits. The student-learner outcomes, identify and interpret one's own cultural values and beliefs. It's absolutely critical to do that because when I'm looking at you, I'm looking at you through these lenses. This is my cultural barrier, my cultural biases. So it's necessary for us to know what our own biases are. If we don't get beyond those biases, it's going to be very difficult. Demonstrate basic knowledge of cultural values and held beliefs and practice of at least 2 or more ethnic groups. We usually talk about African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, American Indians, and then we talk about the different ethnic groups which constitutes the whites. We do a comparative analysis of health traditions assessment, and we'll talk briefly about that. Specify the role of alternative and complementary systems of healthcare and health protection, health maintenance, and health restoration. Again, a very general survey because we have special courses which deal specifically with that. Here's a pitch for it. We have the first MPH program with the Integrative Health Track at Westchester University. Also, the first one, it's an accredited program by the CEPH. And I've talked to you about that. Become an informed consumer and a provider of healthcare services offered by traditional and Western models of healthcare. So we want to have them some kind of an evidence-based knowledge, not at this level, but we put the seeds in so that later on when they go for graduate studies, they can look at this. So what is the health traditions assessment? They have to interview an older person from a different gender or race or ethnic group. The reason for the older person is people always ask, how old is old? I tell them old is relative. If you are 20, 40 is old. When you are 40, 60 looks old. When you are 60, 80 looks old. When you are 80, 100 looks old. When you are 100, it doesn't matter because you have very few peers left. But the point is they have to choose somebody who is at least 2 generations beyond them. And the reason for that is they have a lot more life experience to offer, to share. And that's important. They administer Spector's Health Traditions Assessment Tool. I'll talk about that. They self-administer the Health Traditions Assessment Tool. And then they are able to compare and contrast the responses of the interviewee and self. And then they have to provide a narrative. So they have 2 responses to the same survey. They have their own response, plus they have the response of this older person. And so then they have to find out what are the similarities, what are the differences, and what could be the rational reasons for them. I tell them that this is not a math quiz, there's no one answer, but it is just to stimulate some critical thinking. This is the framework which is used. There are 3 domains which Spector describes. The physical domain, the mental domain, which Western medicine certainly talks about. But the Western medicine doesn't talk about the spiritual domain. So that's one of the key aspects of it. And then the 3 things which they talk about is the maintaining health, protecting health, and then restoring health. And questions are all formulated within these 9 facets. And that's why it's called the 9 interrelated facets of personal health. This comes from the guide, and that guide is the Culture Cat Guide to Health Heritage Assessment and Health Traditions, and that's available from the Spector's book, and that's what we follow. Additional learning tools include case scenarios, and I've given you this. When you get a chance, please do browse through this website. It's a phenomenal website. There are selected readings. We talk about Tuskegee syphilis study because if we want to understand African Americans, it's necessary we need to understand the history, and especially history as it pertains to the medical care. We have video discussions. We talk about a number of things. In fact, I ask them to write their own obituary. They look at me that I've landed from Mars, so I have my own obituary written in 48 words. And I'll be happy to share with anybody who wants to know about it. Web resources we show, and then reflections. I think reflections are absolutely critical in terms of what students think about that whole experience. So in the profile, the enrolled students in the course during the summer sessions, we have 3 sessions and the 5-5 and 3 weeks, and those are the 3 sessions in summer in 2006, and the fall semester 2006, the N was 153. There were over 17 majors who were represented. I don't want to go through the list, but you can see that they come from virtually across every, we have 5 colleges in the university, and then they come from all those 5 colleges. The key benefits from conducting health traditions assessment, this is what they mentioned. They learned about others' traditional health practices. This is the initial cut which I made in terms of the content analysis, looking at more from the conceptual framework rather than the relational ones. So I haven't done the relational analysis yet. That's the next stage. Understood that traditional health practices differ among different generations. That came as a surprise to them. what they practice now in their homes is not the same as what somebody who is older practices in a different, from a different generation. They become aware that family and religion shape traditional health practices and beliefs, and they suddenly realize that religion is something which is important. I try to distinguish between religion and spirituality. We'll talk about that if need be. They recognize that lack of knowing about traditional health beliefs may hinder provision of care. I think when they come back with that, that's very satisfying to me, because that's one of the objectives of this whole thing. They learn to accept others' health beliefs, values, and practice. And that's what I tell them, that you don't have to accept everything, but you have to accept who other people are. This was the ratings in terms of the scoring. Low 1 indicated the lowest rating, 5 indicated the highest. Did you find the health traditions assignment useful? And you can see that bunching was occurring over here, that they did find it to be useful. How well did the course meet the expectations? Again, you can find that about 9 out of 10, I should say, they felt that the course did meet their expectations. Would they recommend this course to other peers? They said yes, they would. At least they have been saying that, and I do hear occasional people saying that, oh, you teach the course, I'm still taking it because my friend said you should take it. So conclusion, health traditions assessment was found to be useful by a majority of students. Nearly 9 out of 10 students rated the course highly. 9 out of 10 students would highly recommend this course to their peers, and a rigorous content analysis of the student narratives will help to identify the relationship between the health traditions assessment and cultural competency. The last thing which I want to show is, if you can take a look at the web resources which I've provided. I've tried to provide you a list of those things, which are not simply the web resources, but they are also good portals. They are good portals. So you can go over there. There are hot links to a number of other areas. So if you want to be focused specifically in terms of Hispanic Americans or African Americans, or you want to find materials which are for, if you're working in a healthcare setting and you want something for Filipino Americans, yes, you have the information buried over here and you should be able to access it. And finally, I thank you all. It is a time, 12:30 is the time for lunch, and you sacrifice your lunch and you're here, and I applaud you for that. Thank you.
Stay up for questions.
Absolutely, yes.
The floor is open for questions or comments.
Yes, please. It is, the question is, would this be called medical anthropology? The answer is yes, it is medical anthropology, but I don't have experience in medical anthropology. But it is a combination of health sciences, sociology, and medical anthropology. That's what it is. But don't worry that you're going to come to Westchester. Next year I'm planning to teach this course with a couple of my colleagues. We're going to team teach this course and global perspective course in China. So it's going to be, it's going to be from May 14 to May 28. We're going to start off the course in Beijing and then go to Xi'an so that we can look at the Three Gorges Dam and then look at some of the environmental impacts of that, and then we are going to one more place and then come back. So it's a 2-week program, it'll be a good immersion, and we'll be talking about this in greater depth. And you're welcome.
I've got a follow-up that might be a little easier. Would you be interested in doing the Learning Institute next year in San Diego, the day before APHA starts?
I would be happy to do a Learning Institute, but I have to admit that I don't have the same kind of proficiency in terms of the depth of this subject which some of the other colleagues might have. So if you want to have the second best choice, then I'll certainly help. But if you want the best choice, I think one has to find, there'll be a lot of people who have much more expertise than me in this. Yes, please.
What are some of the questions that you ask on the assessment?
The questions, I can send you the entire assessment, but the questions, for example, are, what are the things which you do on a day-to-day basis to promote your health? What are the things which you do when you are stressed? What are the things which you do when you have some kind of an illness? And for example, people will often come out with saying that I use chicken soup. But somebody else might say something else. They may say that they hang a garlic around their neck. And so the student goes around and then tries to find out what the purpose of the garlic is.
And when they ask me, I eat garlic every day, somebody might say, when they ask me, being that's why I said I don't have the same competency, I look at it and say that, okay, if you eat garlic every day, not many people are going to be around you. If there are not many people around you, you are now less susceptible to respiratory or airborne illnesses. So it makes sense. But that's what I'm talking about. So there's a whole series of questions which are related to the each one of those dimensions, whether it's the physical dimension, mental dimension. And what do? Do you meditate? Do you meditate? Do you observe some religious customs? Do you have some? Do you wear a religious amulet or a talisman? So those questions are pretty prescribed in each one of those areas, and we sir. And I'll be happy to send you the. And my contact information should be on the. There it is. Contact information is there, and so I'll be happy to send the course syllabus. If anybody wants to look at the course syllabus, I'll be happy to send that also. The twin of this is the heritage assessment, which I'll be presenting on Wednesday, probably the same time. But if any of you who is not able to make it but would like to have that information, I'll be happy to send you the PowerPoint slides. I'll be happy to share. There is no intellectual property because this is vacant.
We've got time for one last question.
Yeah, I kind of answered that. I was just asking about the course structure, which is like a pencil of the and I'll email that.
I'll be happy to send that.
I wanted to actually know the course content, whether there are small groups, discussions, or how much time you spend, and you'll get that.
Yes, one of the things, if I may point in 30 seconds, one of the things which is required of all the students is that they have to do a group project. The group project essentially outlines a particular group, an ethnic group which they may pick and choose, and then they have to have a series of things. A rubric is provided to them, and the best part of that is they get to evaluate. That varies. Summer it's 40% of the grade is theirs, 30% is theirs. I said I will attain Nirvana when I can turn back that 100% of the grading back to them. But as I said, I'm still on this left side of the learning curve. I haven't reached that Nirvana. Who knows? I may never reach it. But